Good morning, everybody.
Charlie,
good to have you back. It was 30 years ago, he and I were standing behind the backstop at little high school over here, where both our boys were, and I invited him to the Friday morning men's fellowship. That was 30 years ago, and he's been our MC ever since. Thank you for being here. Well, I'm sure you'll agree with me, Charlie. We're thankful, I am, for all of the challenges I had early in life, which prepared me for the bigger challenges when I grew up. When I was 28, IBM threw me into a new market, new product in New York City, and had to figure it out. And at that point in my life, in that little town in Connecticut, oldest of five children, I would do just about anything for cash. One day, the principal of the school came into our English class in late morning. His friend had driven into town for a member guest golf tournament on the other side of town at the golf course that none of us had ever even seen. And he said, my friend here is looking for a couple of caddies. You're talking about the rules playing in Singapore, right? Same rules apply, right? He said, I need a couple of caddies because all the caddies are reserved. I called ahead and they said, I can play, but I don't have any caddies. So this other guy and I, crazy kid and I, we raise our hands. And I'm sure that man, by the middle of the afternoon, had wished he had stayed home because we didn't know the rules of the game, we didn't know course etiquette, we didn't even know you were not supposed to walk across the putting line. And here we have our school shoes on, our school clothes. It was a mess. What made matters worse was at the end of the match, we're standing over there, he and I, and the golfers are haggling over how little tip to give us. It was a humiliating experience, but man, let me tell you, back then, for $5 or $10, I could take a little humiliation. Let's switch now to the Bible, which is our textbook here for leadership. We're here to encourage men to lead by following the leadership model of the greatest leader who ever lived, the Lord Jesus Christ. Samuel the prophet is a major figure in the Bible. He wrote several of the books in the Bible. He's a colossal figure. When the people of Israel demanded a king because of the theocracy that God had designed for them, they didn't like it. Everybody else has got a king. We want a king. So he put King Saul in there and then grieved when he had to fire him because of disobedience, when he washed out. When it was time to anoint a new king, the Lord sent him to the house of Jesse, a shepherd who had eight children. And he got there, Samuel got there, the prophet, and he figured it had to be Eliab because he walked in and this tall, handsome young man was there and he said, it's got to be him. The Lord said, don't look at his height or his appearance. And then here's one of the classic lines in the whole of Scripture. Man looks on the outward appearance, but it's God who looks on the heart. Tom and I were talking about the rarity of a real estate guy with the heart to go out and get new business. So, David is out tending the sheep. You know the story. And sure enough, they go out and get him. They bring him in. That's the Lord's man, David. Twice in the Bible, David is described as a man after God's own heart. He had a very special relationship with God. Years ago, when I was in a particularly difficult time in life, I mean really difficult, the books of 1 and 2 Samuel, which talk about David's life, got me through it. Every morning I'd get up, and those two books, let me tell you, were so powerful to study that man's life. He is another colossal figure in the biblical narrative. So, what I want to say to you today, it's not my main point, is don't deprive yourself or your children. Read and teach them the books of 1 and 2 Samuel. All right. Now, time limits me to one episode in David's life, which leads us to our main point here today. It's found in 1 Samuel 17. David volunteers to fight the giant Goliath. Remember the story, right? This giant Philistine, 7 feet tall. I did a little research, and there have been people that big. He hears about Goliath defying the Lord's armies, insulting the Lord's armies. So he says, hey, I'll fight him. Little kid out visiting the armies, bringing food from Jesse. I'll do it. And King Saul, to his credit, says, you're just a boy. He's a seasoned soldier. You're going to be no match for him. And he says, don't be afraid of that Philistine. When I was a boy, protecting my father's sheep, I actually, with my bare hands, killed a bear and a lion. I will take care of him, and God will protect me. I'll do what I can do, but God will take care of me. And here's the thread here today. Those early life experiences gave him the confidence for this challenge. To guard the Lord's reputation. You know, the Lord says, like, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We should be jealous of the reputation of the Lord. But today we come to the end of David's life. He's 70 years old. 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2. We'll just take a couple of verses today, and we'll pull them apart, all right? 1 Kings chapter 2. When the time drew near for David to die, he gave charge to Solomon, his son. Solomon was going to succeed him. I am about to go the way of all the earth. Is Harold here today? Harold, I learned a new word. I'm about to go the way of all the earth is a paraphrasis, not a paraphrase, but a paraphrasis, which is a nice way of saying I'm dying. I'm going to die. I had to look that up. Paraphrasis, not a paraphrase, and saying a lot of words to say something and make it sound good, you know? I'm about to go the way of all the earth. It sounds just a little better than I'm going to die. And he says, So, be strong and act like a man. I'm going to make a little bit of a big deal out of this. You see the logic. If this world is temporary, if I'm going to go the way of all the earth, if this earth and every one of us is going to be gone someday, I might add here, there's going to be a new heaven, right, and a new earth. If that's true, if eternity is true, so what? Look in the text. You're looking at me. So, be strong. And how is that defined? How does he define strength? How does he define strength? He says, observe the law. So be strong, act like a man, and observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in obedience to him and keep his decrees and commands, his laws and regulations as written in the law of Moses. So if you want to be strong and act like a man, be a real man, his formula, his metric, is to obey the law of God. And you know something? The book of Deuteronomy, the 17th chapter, specifically tells kings that do at least four things. One is they're to write out the entire law. So the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, they're to write the whole thing out. So they've got it right by their side as they're ruling the country. So they're totally familiar with it. And then it says, don't amass for yourself too much money or too many horses. Well, what is the story of Solomon's life? What does he do? What does he do? He acquires 700 wives. He becomes the richest man that ever lived. And he might have owned 40,000 horses. And then he leaves his son, Rehoboam, to succeed him. And Rehoboam is corrupt. And he starts a downward slide of the nation of Israel, resulting in their division. And 200 years later, the whole thing comes crashing down when the Babylonians, under Nebuchadnezzar, come across from the east and wipe out the nation of Israel and cart off all their intelligentsia for 70 years. Because the Lord made him wise. His scriptures are still useful to us. And at the end of his life, when he repented and wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, which we studied right here 25 years ago, the whole thing, it's online, the book of Ecclesiastes is reflective of a repentant heart, of a man who learned the hard way what happens when you don't obey the Lord. Fantastic, right? The sovereignty of God. So, what's the moral of the story? Charlie, I'm blaming it all on you, okay? All right. First of all, the moral of the story. Praise the Lord for all the hard things that you have in life. It prepares you for something greater. And don't deprive our children of the privilege of the challenges that life will bring their way. I don't think my two older boys ever forgave me for not bringing them up at a country club and teaching them how to play golf. They had to learn the hard way, and you know about golf, it's very unforgiving, right? How old were you when you started playing?
Eight,
see? That's why a scratch or better. All right, so let him risk it. Put him in hard places. Let him go in the hard places. One family I heard about this week made their son take the SATs 7 times so he could get into the right school, right for whom? Right for whom? Perfect kids, right? Okay, so the challenge today, men, is what? Obey him. Obey him. Love your wives. Learn how to do that. Who's the financial guy? Manage your money, or master your money, as my friend Ron Blues. Master your money. If you learn how to be a good husband, that takes a lot of doing. James is nodding his head. If you learn how to love your wife, as Peter says, love her in an understanding way. My wife's going through chemo right now, and she's just not herself. And I said to myself yesterday morning, I'm not going to react. I'm not doing anything as well as she would, but I'm not going to react because she's having a hard time. Love your wife, master your money, and teach your children the lessons from life from great men like Samuel and David and even Solomon. They loved the Lord, and David especially was a man after God's own heart. So be, men, the challenge today, be an obedient leader and enjoy the blessings that God has for obedient men. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray together. I'm excited about your book on financial, what was it called? Financial literacy, yeah. Yeah, I've developed that conviction that money management is about the most important skill you can acquire. So let's keep it up. Father, we thank you and praise you for your scriptures. They're timeless. They're as relevant today as they have ever been. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen. Have a good time at your tables this morning.